All right, let's move on to a happier topic. No more Pirates hitting, at least until Shelty's on at the top of the hour. Let's go with the Steelers draft and Garrett Podell from CBS Sports. Garrett, appreciate you joining us. You were great. We had you on before the draft. Coming out of it, I haven't heard or seen one negative grade for the Steelers. How do you feel about their draft?
Well, thank you so much for having me on. Happy to be back with you guys. I thought it was a great draft. I think, you know, the main issue was offensive line, and they hammered away at that first two picks. Troy Fontenot from Washington, who was the Pac-12 O-lineman of the year, can play left tackle, can play inside, probably slots at left tackle for the Steelers. And then Zach Frazier, who to me, the second best center prospect in the draft, four-time state wrestling champ. I think he brings a lot of great attributes to the table. And so that was a great start. And then I really like the value they got. Third, fourth round, Peyton Wilson had the injury issues, but was the best linebacker in college football last year. And then Mason McCormick out of South Dakota State, round four. I saw him in person at the East-West Shrine Bowl. I think he's got some upside to potentially be a starting guard in the NFL one day. So I really like the value, particularly up front.
Well, I think that was what they were trying to do, is make sure that they could go and bolster their offensive line. The other thing they needed to do was get some playmakers at receiver. Interestingly, Roman Wilson has been praised a lot more for his ability to block than anything else. What are the Steelers getting in him?
I think Roman Wilson can be a dynamic player, like you mentioned, played in a run-first offense at Michigan. But the few times that Michigan let J.J. McCarthy throw deep, and a lot of that was off of play action, Roman Wilson was on the receiving end of a lot of those passes. He's great going vertical downfield. Underneath routes, pretty strong as well. I think the intermediate game, I mean, Michigan didn't really have a really sophisticated intermediate from 10 to 22 yard passing game. That was really just runs, play actions, deep shots. But I think that's definitely something that he can help out with. And I think he can be a dynamic player out of the slot for Pittsburgh, who's got George Pickens on the outside.
I'm having a hard time figuring out how Peyton Wilson was on the board. Obviously injuries, but they're injuries from what now seems like his long ago past. I mean, he just played two straight full seasons. He's gigantic. I heard Luke Kuechly talking about him yesterday. Kuechly was like, this dude's bigger than me and runs as fast as wide receivers. This was a stunning pick to me, Garrett. Well, what did you think of this pick?
I can explain to you why he dropped. So during the NFL Network broadcast, the draft, Ian Rappaport, their lead insider, said Wilson, one of his knees does not have an ACL in it. So that, you know, brings up existing concerns about durability, even though he did play the two straight healthy seasons that you mentioned. So probably some teams, just because of the medical, knocked him down off their board. However, this is not the first time the Steelers have taken a gamble on a player with this issue.
Right.
When they selected Hines Ward in 1998, medical people discovered he only had one ACL because of a childhood accident. He played 14 years for the Steelers, won two Super Bowls. So just because this is an issue doesn't mean it's going to necessarily impact him and his pro career. And the Titans took a running back last year out of Tulane, Tyjae Spears, in round three, among the same concerns. And he looked dynamic as a rookie. So it's not a death sentence. He's also a little older. He's going to be a 24-year-old rookie, but he was named the ACC Defensive Player of the Year and the Butkus Award winner for the best linebacker in college football. So, by and large, if you can keep him healthy, it's a great value in round three.
Yeah, I mean, Greg Lloyd didn't have an ACL either. Obviously, this didn't affect his speed. It didn't affect anything about his game. So I guess the fear then would be attrition over the long haul, something like that.
Sure.
I just don't see it. I can't believe that many teams just said no to him based on that, when you just turn on the tape.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if he doesn't have that injury concern, he's probably high second-round pick if there's no injury issue. So I think it's a great value for Pittsburgh, and he could probably, you know, be somebody you can factor into the linebacker rotation right away, and then maybe in a year or two, depending on how free agency and things shake out. I think he might be behind a Landon Roberts on the depth chart to start, but maybe he can push Roberts for that starting spot at the right inside linebacker position right away. But the linebacker core looks great. Patrick Queen drafted Peyton Wilson. You've got some other veterans. That the front seven also looks pretty strong for Pittsburgh.
You look at the three other teams in the AFC North, and we were trying to figure this out yesterday, who had the best draft of the other three and who made themselves better. What did you like about those three teams?
Cincinnati, I thought, you know, their big thing is how can we protect Joe Burrow? So I liked what they did, taking Amarius Mims, someone who we discussed on Thursday morning here about just the athletic potential that he has out of Georgia. I liked what they did there. Jermaine Burton, they took a wide receiver out of Alabama. He was pretty dynamic for them. Got one of the more underrated corners in the country out of TCU, Josh Newton. I've seen him play in person a number of times. He's a pretty good player. So I thought Cincy did pretty well. Baltimore, they went more of a defense-heavy kind of draft, but which makes sense because they lost a number of players in free agency. And then we look at Cleveland, and I would probably say Cincinnati is probably my favorite draft out of the other three NFC North teams. I like them getting Mims right off the top. To me, dynamic potential as an offensive tackle, huge, really well-balanced. I like the Burton pick in round three. Tight end Eric All, to me, is an untapped potential guy playing in a run-first offense at Iowa. I like the Newton pick. And Tanner McLaughlin, a tight end out of Arizona, I think he's a really great pass catcher. I like their value that they got up and down the board.
Paul, may I engage Garrett in a game of free association?
Absolutely. I think it's the best part of these interviews.
Garrett, here's how this works, if you're willing to engage. If not, I understand.
Always willing.
Quick questions and then really quick answers. Could be a yes or a no. Could be five words or less would be ideal, and I just have five of them. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Atlanta lost their minds with the Michael Penix move. Good move, bad move?
Yes, good move if no Kirk Cousins. Bad move with what they paid Kirk Cousins.
Baltimore got a future All-Pro in the cornerback Wiggins.
Hard to say, but I like his potential.
Saints made a wise move with Spencer Rattler.
Yes, 100%. Derek Carr is a little shaky.
Steelers getting Mason McCormick, the South Dakota State kid. They got a future starter at guard, yes or no?
Yes.
And of all the first-round quarterbacks, the one most likely to bust and the one most likely to be a star?
Bo Nix, most likely to bust, most likely to be a star. Probably Caleb Williams, but I really also like Drake May.
Garrett, you're a wonderful man. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you so much. Always fun stopping by and chatting with you guys.
Loved it. Garrett Padel, read his stuff at cbssports.com. Really good stuff.
It probably speaks more to the person. His quality play speaks to the player that he is. But he needs no endorsement from me. You guys are pretty familiar with him. He's a regional guy. He's a tough competitor. He was an instant contributor in Morgantown. He's got an awesome background from a Reed perspective, a high school wrestling champ, and got a lot of respect for that combat sport. Just really comfortable with him as a player and as a person.
Man, that Steelers draft went about as well as most people hoped to get the position of need, the center in the second round, with Zach Frazier of West Virginia. And here to talk about Zach is his offensive line coach from West Virginia. Mr. Matt Moore is on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Matt, we appreciate you coming on. I'm going to start you with a little story that you're very familiar with, and it's from a guy by the name of Mike DeFabo, wrote this on The Athletic. He said, if you're looking for one snap that sums up Zach Frazier, look no further than the last play of his college career. You guys are down by four. You need to go 80 yards for the win. On the first play, Frazier gets hit in a weird way and breaks his leg. And as DeFabo writes, the natural response would have been to stay down and wait for attention. This guy hopped onto his one healthy leg and bear crawled off the field. What do you remember about that, and what does that say about Zach Frazier?
You know, when that happened, it was an awesome thing to see, but it just didn't surprise me at all. That's who he is. That's what he brought to our program, just that toughness, that selflessness. And, he came, and like we were all panicking on the sideline. Coach Brown was saying, get out, because, he never gets hurt, right? So we knew it was something serious. And he comes off the field, and he just kind of flops there on the sideline, and he's like trying to look at the Jumbotron. He's like, did they call a timeout? Did they got him? I'm like, no, they're still going. He's like, why was Coach Brown telling me to get out? And I was like, well, we knew you were hurt, man. We didn't want, he's like, we didn't have a timeout. It was going to be, he knew the whole situation. He's like, there's no timeouts left. They're going to run the time off the clock. And, he laid there on his back as the trainers are looking at his leg, and all he's wanting to do is sit up and see the Jumbotron to see if we score, wanting to know if we scored. And, that's what he's all about, man. He's a team guy. He's tough as nails. And just, raised, the way a lot of people in this part of the country are raised. His grandfather was a miner, and mom and dad are school teachers, and just, blue collar, hardworking. He just has a unbelievable work ethic and toughness about him that, just as a coach, man, you absolutely love.
Well, I think, the toughness, the hard-nosed part of it and all that stuff is one part of that story that tells you a lot about him as a player. But the other part of it is that he completely knew the entire situation of the game, knew exactly the rules of the game. Obviously, you want your center to be the smartest guy that you have out there because of all the things he has to do. That probably speaks volumes to how, intelligent a player is as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, you have kind of, to me, I've been doing this for a while. Sometimes you have really smart players, and sometimes you have really smart players that think on their feet really well. And, that's where you see great quarterbacks and great centers. It's like he's a smart guy, but he keeps the same mentality all the time. He can play really hard, and he can play at a high level, but it's like his mind stays in the same calm. He's thinking about things. He can think about the down and distance. He can look at the stance of D linemen. He can look at the width of a linebacker. He can look at the depth of a safety, and he can put in his head what he thinks the defense is fixing to do, and he did that his whole career. Studied film like nobody I've ever been around. I mean, he set the bar here. When he came in as an 18-year-old freshman, he set the bar here from a work ethic standpoint, from a wanting to learn football standpoint, and just really it's something that our whole team has benefited from is he changed the way things were when we first got here. And now I've got an old line room full of guys that want to play like him, want to study like him, want to take care of their body like him. And like, he's got that mindset, man. That's where he plays. He plays at a high level, but he plays at a really calm level.
West Virginia offensive line coach Matt Moore on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline. Well, that's a good lead into my next question, Matt. And I wonder if you can explain, just in real simple terms that we can all understand, sort of the role of a center beyond the physical part, like adjustments at the line of scrimmage. What kinds of things are they doing at the line of scrimmage in terms of, are they changing protections? What are they doing, and how important is it to have a football smart guy doing it?
So in our offense, he is the second quarterback. So we take a lot off our quarterback as far as protection and run game responsibility, and we put it on the center. So if you think about it, when he walks up to the line of scrimmage every time, he's got two guys on each side of him, sometimes three if we got a tight end, or four if we got two tight ends. And he has to start. He's got to tell where everything's going to start. And like wherever he starts, everybody works out from there, if that makes sense. If he wants to start on the left side, then everything's going to work out from there. If he wants to start right in the middle. So he is really key. And there was one stat that I think it's PFF, Pro Football Focus, keeps. And it goes by how many times you run the ball and there's an unblocked player at the point of attack, which basically is saying when the O-line screws up, right? When we miscall the front or miss ID or miscommunicate. Well, for 3 years in a row, we are in the top two to three in the country in the least amount of unblocked players at the point of attack. And that goes back to Zach Frazier, where he was so good at communicating and he had such a good mind, spatial awareness, of being able to see linebackers and safeties. And, you know, you get big sets, you get two tight end sets, or you get short yardage or goal line, and there's a lot of bodies down there. You're solely as a coach depending on that one guy to see what you want him to see and to start everything where you want it to start. And that's, he did a phenomenal job of that. There was times, you know, there's times we get down the goal line and the defense misaligns. And, you know, sometimes the defense will miss a line, but they'll still, they'll have too many on one side and you don't block them, right? Well, he, you know, there's several times where he goes up and he sees the misalignment and he changes the mic call and he gets us a hat on a hat. We walk in untouched, you know, and everybody's applauding the running back when really it's, it was him coming up and seeing where the defense misaligned and fixing things. And I think that's where on the next level, that, that kind of stuff is going to be something that's going to really be invaluable to those guys in the NFL, of his ability to stay calm and to be able to see defenses and to be able to make the mic call. I think that's something that's really going to help him.
When you you were on the staff when he was being recruited, so you got a chance to see his, you know, recruitment process. I would imagine just everything we know about him, it wasn't really hard to convince him to come to West Virginia. Given, you know, he seems like a loyal guy, and it seems like that would be, you know, where he'd want to be, just, you know, his family and everything else.
Well, it wasn't always like that. So when we came in here, the staff that we followed, you know, and I knew several of those guys real well, and they weren't big on him. They thought he was too short. They weren't really recruiting him. And, you know, and he didn't like – there's a lot of things that went on that he didn't like it up here. He wasn't a big – you know, he wasn't a shoe-in, man. When I got here – he was like, he was a junior. He was like, I don't know about West Virginia. You know, I got these other places recruiting me. So we really had to buckle in. I had to buckle in and, like, get to know him and show him that we were different and, like, we really wanted him. Because, you know, sometimes with in-state recruiting, some people think that that you don't have to try. But, you know, we've made a point here at West Virginia where we're going to try to keep the best kids in the state, and you have to recruit them. And it wasn't what you would think as far as – him just being a shoe-in here. So we had to really recruit him and stay after him and build a relationship with him and his family. And, you know, once that was done, and once he's one of those dudes that once he said this is where he wanted to come, you know, it was locked in after that. But yeah, early on it was a little hit and miss there early on. We had to get him up here and really do some recruiting on him to show him that this place is going to be able to develop him. He wasn't just an overly recruited guy out of high school. You know, he wasn't like a 4-star, 5-star, anything like that. Played a lot of D-line, had a Stanford offer as a D-lineman. So he's always been a really active player. But, you know, he's developed himself to a 5-star player through the weight room and nutrition and film study and just a very devoted, very, you know, he's almost military style the way he approaches every day. He's getting up at 5:30 every morning. He's gonna do the same thing every day. He loves structure and just really feeds off structure, which really is going to make him a good NFL player.
Matt, I thought I read where he squats. I don't know. These numbers mean nothing to me because it's so foreign what happens in a weight room. 675 pounds. Bottom line is, I read he's an absolute animal in the weight room. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, we very rarely put that kind of weight on their back. A lot of that is projected. I tell you where Zach, like, where his core is so strong from his wrestling background. He's got like 10-inch hands. Like, his hands are really strong. His core is really, really strong. Cause, you know, you get guys that are big bench pressers, big squatters, and that's good. But when you get those dudes that have that strong low back and core, you know, what the old timey guys would just say, like, country strong, that's where he is, man. He's one of those guys that can control you with his core of his body. And that's where his strength comes in. When he gets his – and his big old hands, he gets his hands on people. I mean, there's a clip when he played TCU a couple years ago. He got a hold of a linebacker, and he had his hands on him. The linebacker tried to cross over, and he just took his hands and he flipped the guy up on his head. And this was a startling. You know, the kid just crossed his feet over, and he just took his hands like he turned in a steering wheel and just flipped him completely all the way over. So, yeah, he's got some unbelievable core strength. And just strong hands.
You, the one thing it seems really clear, and I heard Neil Brown yesterday, I think it was, on our air, and a number of different people that cover West Virginia. And the one thing that seems very, very clear is, beyond everything he's going to do on the field, he's a tremendous leader and great locker room guy.
Yeah, but you won't hear him. He's not a big vocal guy. He's going to set the example by how hard he's working. He's just going to, you know, I know when he gets on that level, he's going to really want to learn a lot from the older guys and really, you know, he's not going to go up there talking about what he's done, but he will get in there and he'll work. He'll stay late. He'll get there early. And I think he'll get the respect of those guys really quick just because he is humble. He wants to learn. He knows he doesn't know it all, and he's going to work his butt off. And, you know, when you get in those kind of situations with those kind of type A personality guys, and they see a dude that's humble and wants to learn and is willing to work, that usually works out pretty good. And I think what fits the Steelers so well is just his blue-collar, humble mentality and approach. I've always just, you know, really looked up to those guys and Coach Tomlin and how good of a job he does with just, you know, how hard those guys work and sticking to that identity. And I think he fits it perfect.
Matt Moore, West Virginia offensive line coach. Just a couple more minutes. I'll put you on the other side of the ball here. If you were a defensive guy, Matt, and I'm curious about this. Is there something about Zach that the Ravens, Bengals, Browns of the world will try to exploit? In other words, something that might be his biggest adjustment or something he needs to shore up before he can thrive at the NFL level?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, try to get on his edge from a pass rush standpoint, make him show you that he can handle an athletic edge rusher on third down. You know, I think that's going to be something that people are going to try to get on him because, you know, he's 6'2 and some change. He's not a 6'5 guy, but he has fairly decent arm length for a center, I think 32. But I think that's what a lot of people are going to try to do is get that. But, you know, the thing is with him is he's really smart and he understands angles and he understands leverage. And, you know, he's going to show him that, like, hey, you may be faster than me, but I understand angles and I'm going to still take my angle where I can get in front of you and shut down this pass rush. So I have I think that's kind of where some people are like, hey, let's try to take advantage of on this. But, you know, I think run game wise, he's going to be exactly what they want. He's just got to show them on third and long that he can shore up an athletic, you know, pass rush situation where they bring either a D end or a three technique and put them on the nose, put them on the center and show that he can handle that.
Well, and I think that's going to be the biggest adjustment, obviously, is it's a little different in the NFL than it is in college, but it seems to me because he is very, you know, like we've been talking about, so smart, and because of his wrestling background, he's going to be able to mitigate some of whatever the physical disadvantages that he might perceived or otherwise might have, correct?
Yes, I agree with that 100%. I know he's smart, but he also loves football, and he's going to study, and he's going to talk to the older guys, and he's going to work on things that he knows that are his weakness. He's working on them right now. I mean, he's been here the past 2 days, you know, working out on the field. He's got guys out there trying to speed rush him. He's got, I mean, he just loves it. He's going to work every day. And like I said, he's been here and I think the only day he missed a workout was the day he had to go the day after the draft when he had to go to Pittsburgh and do all the media stuff. Other than that, he's been grinding and, you know, he's going to take care of his body and he's going to be ready to go. I think they report the 5th and he's really excited about it.
Matt, we really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. That was fantastic stuff. Thank you.
Sure. Anytime I get a chance to push our guys and especially a great player like him, everything he's done for us and done for this program, I love it. I wish him all the luck in the world. Can't wait to watch him play.
Us neither. Thank you, sir.
All right, guys.
That is Matt Moore. That was tremendous
stuff.
Yes,
that was really good stuff. I mean, obviously, he knows Zach Frazier very well. I mean, to me, what, you know, it just sort of reaffirms what we knew for the most part, right? It reaffirms what we knew. He's a smart guy. He's a tough guy. He's a you know, guy who understands angles very well and all that other stuff.
Have you seen the video of him like bear crawling off the field after that broken leg? Oh, my God.
The only thing I can compare that to is when
Byron Leftwich
was being carried down the middle of the field. trying to win a game with a he had a broken ankle or something, right?
Something like that.
Yeah.
And his lineman, it was amazing. And this dude seems to have everything. But I did like it there where he said, listen, yeah, they're going to try to exploit him with, you know, athletic guys
right.
that can beat him on pass rush. But I think he only allowed one sack maybe
right.
this season and four in his whole career. Something like that is what I read.
Right. And I think the other part about it is when you're a guy like him that understands leverage and moves like he can move.
Yeah.
I think you're going to be able to take away some of that, you know, disadvantage that you might have.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? And I think, you know, the one thing he made mention of that I thought was interesting is his hand size, right?
Yeah, he's the anti-Pickett.
He's the opposite of Pickett.
That's your headline. You gotta put that on the internet.
They drafted the anti-Pickett.
Right?
He's got huge hands. Right?
Exactly.
He's got huge hands.
That guy was a treat. Can we get him on again?
He was fantastic.
I would just like to continue that interview for another 20 minutes sometime. How about next week, Nene?
We'll have to see there.
Thank you. Coming up, Derek Shelton. Pirates not hitting. Where do they go from here? What are his options with this lineup? Team in a free fall. What, 5-14? That's like 119 loss pace. What has happened here, and what can Derek Shelton do to try and fix it? Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing HVAC provider for over 50 years. And the 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Yes, we're keeping tabs on a couple different things right now. Kevin Weeks from NHL Network, other places analyzing the NHL, put out a eyeball emoji and a photograph of downtown, of our downtown here.
Yeah. Has there anything come with that?
What's going on here?
And Limits. Remember, Brian McFadden said there's a big move coming. Omar
yes.
Khan's cooking. And then somebody commented at him, well, this tweet really didn't do too well. And he responded, patience, my brother, patience.
Yes. We're all, listen.
I got an idea. Call Brian McFadden. Text him. City Limits. He's been on the show many times. We have his number. Ask him if he'll clue us in. Ask him if he'll join us in the 1 o'clock hour. Tell him he can give hints. And if we guess it, it can be something. You ever see All the President's Men? You know, Deep Throat was the source there.
Yeah, if it's true, just hang up.
Yes. We'll get Brian McFadden on the line. If one of us guesses what it is, he can slam the phone down. Text him on that. Seriously, okay?
Okay.
Or at the very least, we can talk to him, okay? Let's do that.